Last week, we used a three-word phrase in church that I don't think a lot of us ever expected to say in the first person. I don't think a lot of us expected to use this three-word phrase in regards to ourselves. Now, we've used it with other people. We've said, well, he's rich, or she's rich, or they're rich, but we've never said, I am rich. And I don't think a lot of us have ever believed that, but after last week, we have to believe that because that is the truth. We are rich. When you compare us to the countries all around the world and you look at wage earners, we shared some numbers last week that if you make $37,000 a year, $37,000 a year, you are in the top 4% of wage earners in the world. If you bump that up just a little bit and you make $45,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of wage earners in the world. For you, there are 99 other people that make less than you if you make $45,000 a year. Top 1%. Last week, after sharing this information, Alan was so kind to share with me a graph that he had that kind of puts this in picture form. And so we've got this up here. Western Hemisphere average annual income. This is Western Hemisphere. You can see Haiti. That's where the guys are going here. And at the end of the month, they're way down here. You see their little block? Do I have to point that out? That's so little. Do you see it? Haiti's way over here. That big line at the end, that's the United States of America. Our average income is about $34,000 a year. There's another graph that he gave me that's the world, and we're second in the world. See, the truth is that we are rich. You are rich. I like to say this. I am rich. Now, what that does is that changes the way we look at God's word. Because if you're anything like me, for years you've read God's word and you've passed these passages that talk to the rich, that speak to the rich, that talk about wealth, that speak about those who have wealth, that those who have riches. And you read that and you think, that's good information for a rich person. I think I'll file that away. Next time I'm talking to a rich person with problems, I'll take them to this scripture. But for me, this scripture doesn't apply to me. Why? Because I'm not rich. But since we realize that we are rich, then we have to go back to the scripture. And we have to look at these verses that are scattered throughout our Bible that speak to the rich, that talk about the wealthy, that talk about people that have riches. And we have to look at these verses and say, that's me. I'm that rich guy. I'm that rich lady. I'm the rich person that scripture is speaking to. We looked at a passage in Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:17. Actually, we looked at a couple other verses, but this was the first one in that passage where Paul tells Timothy to command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in what? Wealth. Not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. But to put their hope in who? God, who richly provides us with everything. For what? For our enjoyment. All the wealth that we've been given by God, God gives this to us for our enjoyment. Now, if you missed last week is so important to this series. It lays a foundational truth that you need. So if you missed last week, you need to log on to our website and download that sermon or just listen to it there and get caught up, because that sermon is very important to understanding these other sermons. So we understand we are the rich people. We are rich. But we should not put our hope in our wealth. We are rich. We shouldn't be arrogant. We should put our hope in God. Jesus told a parable about seeds. A lot of us know this parable by the name of the parable of the sower. And he's talking about a farmer who went out and scattered seeds all along different types of soil. And he names all these different soils. And after he tells the parable, sometime when he's away with the disciples ask him about the parable. So we have Jesus' commentary on this parable. All right, this was like a level 4, level 5 parable. All right, it needed some explaining. So Jesus explained this parable to them, so we know exactly what Jesus was talking about in this parable. He said the seed was the word of God that was being spread out among different hearts. The different soil was different hearts. And one of those soils that Jesus talked about was a soil that had thorns in it that grew up, and these thorns choked out the word of God, that seed that was laid on that heart. Does anyone remember what the thorns were in this life? Here's the world. That worries of this world and the deceitfulness of wealth. Jesus said, wealth is deceitful. It will fool you. Wealth promises happiness. It promises security. But you will realize those are only temporary if they're fulfilled at all. The only place where you get full security, full happiness is God. That's the only place you're going to find that. And what wealth does is it deceives you into thinking you can get it from wealth. You can get it from riches. And I believe that we've all fallen for that at one time or another. Am I alone? All right, you guys are all bashful. Come on, am I alone? Every hand in this place should go up, shouldn't it? We've all fallen for it. And sometimes multiple times, haven't we? And every time we do, we get back up and we say, what was I thinking? It left me empty last time. It left me empty the time before that. And it left me empty now. Some of you are right there, right now. And you're being deceived by wealth. And I know that because you know you're rich now from last week. But you still don't feel rich. You say, I know I'm rich, but I don't feel rich. And you don't feel rich because you're still trying to get rich so that you can get rich, so that you can live rich, so that you can act rich, so that and then you can feel rich. But all this time, when you're trying to get rich, you don't realize you are rich. And you're trying to get rich because you don't feel rich. And the reason why you don't feel rich is because you have been deceived. You have been deceived by wealth. Now, this series, last week I told you that this series was not a get-rich-quick series. It was how to be rich. Another thing that I'd like to share about this series that it's not is that this is not an anti-wealth series. This is not a series that says that riches is bad, wealth is bad, you need to get rid of them. It's not that kind of series at all. In fact, it's the opposite. This is a series that says, get rich. Be rich, act rich, feel rich, live rich. I want you to be rich. I want you to be rich because rich is a blessing from God. Wealth is a blessing from God. We learned that last week. Wealth is a blessing from God. I want you to receive blessings from God in a financial manner. We started a phrase last week. I want you to say this with me again. God has blessed me with more than I need. I am rich. All right, now let's add to that. Let's add to that statement. But I will not trust in riches, but in Him who richly provides. Let's do that again. God has blessed me with more than I need. I am rich. But I will not trust in riches, but in Him who richly provides. I want you to write that down. Flip your bulletins over if you haven't already done so, and you write that down. Take that home with you. Put it in your pocket. Take it to work with you. Take it to the store with you. You need to take that with you. I want you to enjoy the blessings of God. We have been blessed by God. I want you to be rich. I want to be rich. I want all of us to be rich, and I want us to be rich in the way that God wants us to be rich. I want us to feel rich in a way that honors God, in a way that God desires for us to feel, because He has blessed us and we are rich. I want us to do it the way God wants us to, not the way Satan wants us to. You know what Satan wants? Satan wants us to serve money. Satan wants you to serve money. If you don't believe me, I got a hold of an interview with Satan. You can hear it straight from him. Let's look at this here. I don't know how many times I've watched that. I found that connected to this series, and just great stuff. And funny, very humorous, but I don't want us to miss the underlying truth of that. Uh-oh. Someone didn't know that that was a fake Satan. But I don't want us to miss the underlying truth of what was being said there. Satan wants you to serve money. He doesn't have to get you to serve him. He can keep you from God by having you serve money instead of serving him. For most of you, money will be the number one competitor for your heart. The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Some who have loved money have wandered from the faith. Now, I know a lot of us are sitting there saying, well, that's not me. I'm not a lover of money. I'm not in love with money. I just don't love money. That's not me. It's not talking about me. And just like last week when we were looking at verses that talk to the rich, and you're saying, that doesn't talk to me. We're going to look at verses that talk about loving money, and you're going to say, no, no, that's not me. But be careful, because last week you were the same people that were saying, I'm not rich. And this week you're saying, I'm rich. So be careful to answer that so quick. Because as I look at Scripture and I look at our society and us, we're involved in society. We're part of our society. I believe that a lot more of us are in love with money. We've got a love affair going. We've got a girl on the side, and her name is Money. And we've got a love affair there. So how do you know if you love and trust money? Well, people who love and trust money, they never have enough. Ouch. You know, there's a lot now in the hearts in here, and the minds are thinking, ooh, that hurts. You know what hurts even worse is that is straight from Scripture. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, whoever loves money never has what? Money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never what? Satisfied. Boy, you guys are really bashful on this verse. They're never satisfied with his income. And I read a verse like that, and I'm like, oh, that's me. That verse is talking about me, and I'm the type of person that says, I don't love money. I'm not a lover of money. But am I satisfied? No, I'm always wanting something bigger. I'm always wanting something better. And in fact, I've got a list of things that I'd like to buy that are better than the things that I have right now. Some things that I'm looking forward to. I've got a car out in the parking lot that's got 175,000 miles on it. And I believe it's going to hold on for a little while, but I know the reality is that one day it will spark its last spark. And that will be a sad day. Man, I got to keep my voice down. Can you guys hear me? Because I don't want it to hear me out there. Because when it dies, I already know what car I'm going to get next. I got my eyes on this little Subaru WRX. STI there, yeah. The top of the line, that STI model comes with a 305 horsepower engine, that little guy. But that's not why I want it. That's a safer car. I'm not only going to be happier driving it, I'm going to be more secure because that car has all-wheel drive. My car, rear-wheel drive, doesn't work so good in the winter here in Cincinnati. All-wheel drive, I would be more secure in that car. It has a special, smart, intelligent rally suspension that's hooked up to a computer that has been tested on rally races that they put on their cars. That's safe. That's secure. I'd be safe in that car, and it's got four doors, so it'd be easier to get my kids in and out of it. I mean, you know, I don't just want it because it goes from, you know, 60 to 0, or actually 0 to 60 in 4.8 seconds. 60 to 0, though, is pretty impressive. That goes back to the security issue. It can go from 60 to 0 in 106 feet. That's safe. You can stop quick. I don't know the numbers of 100 to 0, but that might be important to find out. But it's a safe car, and I don't want it just because it blew away the Ford GT Mustang in a road test, 44 out of 46 things it won. Anyway. But I catch myself, and some of that might just be smart financial planning, to plan ahead and to look and say, okay, here's a goal. I want to set a goal. I want to work towards that goal. Some of that might be wise. That might be smart. But we need to be careful that we don't cross a line and get to where we can't be satisfied with what we have as we're looking to reach our goals. And I'm scared that a lot of us cross that line without knowing it. A lot of us have that old car and we're not satisfied with it. And every time we get into it, we're frustrated and we want something better. We want it now. We want it today. And I have to be careful with myself that I make sure that I am satisfied with what I have. Because if I'm not, then I fall into this verse. And I am in love with money. And I don't believe I'm alone here. You know, some of you, it might be the material possession side. Some of you, that might not be where you find your happiness or your security or where you look for it. You might be looking for happiness and security by building a big stack of money in the bank. Maybe you've got so much invested that no matter what happens to the market, you're still rolling in cash. And that's where you feel safe. You feel secure because you've got a stack of money. And you know that whatever comes your way, you're fine. Because you got a stack of savings. You have a stack of money in the bank. And that's deceitful. That's deceitful because you're not going to find happiness. You're not going to find security in the material possessions. You're not going to find it in your stack in the bank. Those things can only come from God. And if you go out believing that, you have been deceived if you think that you can get security and happiness from material possessions or from money. Do you know how much money you need to be totally secure? The answer is more than you currently have. And that's always going to be the answer. You know, as a general group of people, I don't believe that we're satisfied. We're always wanting more. And our Bible tells us in this verse that if this is our attitude, if this is how we live, if this is what drives us, then we are in love with money. We've got a mistress on the side that we're keeping that love affair going. And we're in love with money. And this verse is a tough verse to read because I believe this verse corners every one of us in this room. It shines a light into our heart and exposes some things that we would not like to admit. But we need to be able to admit that if we're going to get over it. People who love and trust money, they may have money in the bank, but no peace in their heart. Proverbs 15:16 says, better an all-wheel Subaru. No, all-wheel drive. Now, what does it say? Better what? A little. With the fear of the Lord, then what? Great wealth with turmoil. You are rich. Whether or not you feel like you're rich or not, the truth is, the facts are, you are rich. I know a lot of rich people who are miserable because of their wealth. And you don't have to realize you're rich or not to experience turmoil from your wealth. What happens? Why do we feel that? Well, it's because that everything we get, we believe it's for us. Every time God blesses us with riches, every time God gives us wealth, we think, oh boy, this is more for me. I can get more stuff for myself. I can build up my stack in the bank better. I can get more stuff to make me feel rich. And we want to feel rich, so we get this stuff. But it doesn't make us feel rich because we don't have any room. We don't have any margin. We're not experiencing that because every time we put our faith and our trust in these things, they let us down because wealth is deceitful. And we're chasing after these things. And we have to realize if you're doing that, you're not having peace in your life. That's not how to be rich. That's not how to feel rich. That's how to be greedy. That's how to feel selfish when you live like that. You cannot serve both God and money. You've got this girl on the side. You can't love both her and God. You cannot love both God and money. You cannot serve both of them. You have to choose one or the other. I'll share something with you that just it turns that light up even bright into your heart from God's word. If you've got turmoil, financial turmoil in your life, if you're miserable when it comes to finances, if the subject of finances turns your stomach upside down, then I can tell you where you've put your love and trust. That's tough. Because if your love and your trust is in money, you'll have turmoil. You'll be miserable. You won't have peace. If your faith and trust is in God, if you've chosen to serve God, then you'll have peace no matter what your financial situation looks like. So those who love and trust money, they might have money in the bank, but they don't have peace in their heart. People who love and trust money, they find it increasingly difficult to give big. Why? Why is this? Well, because when you're thinking this way, and when you've been deceived by money, you're thinking, you know, I can't handle everybody else's problems until I get my problems fixed. I have to fix my problems first. I can't help the church out with the debt challenge project that we started a couple years. I can't help them because I've got debt of my own that I need to fix first. I can't help that person with their needs because I've got needs of my own that I need to fix first. And when you're thinking like that, you have been deceived. Because money is not going to solve your problems. Money is not going to keep your teenagers off of drugs. It won't. Money is not going to cure your best friend of cancer. Money will not save your marriage. You think it will, but you have been deceived. It won't. You have put your trust in money if that's how you're thinking. And what that does is that when you could give generously, you don't. Because you're thinking, I need money to fix my life before I help others. And that hurts our ability to be able to feel rich. You know, a lot of you might be thinking, you know, I'd like to start giving to the church. I'd like to start this thing called a tithe. We're going to be talking more about a tithe next week. But a tithe is basically 10% that you bring to God, not that you give to Him. It's over 10% that becomes an offering. That's a gift. 10% you bring to God. You return it to Him. More on that next week. You might be thinking, you know, I would like to just start with the 10%. I would just like to start with a tithe. And you sit down Saturday night with your checkbook and your last pay stub, and you start to write that check, and you realize, as you look down at the calculator, what 10% is. And you say, I can't give that. I don't have that to give. Because everything that you've gotten, every blessing that God's given you, you've piled up so that you have no margin in your life. You have no wiggle room. You have no ability to feel like you can give. So you put the pen down. This doesn't only pertain to church. This goes outside the church. This goes everywhere where you would have generosity. You guys have hearts of gold. I know a number of you, and I've had conversations with you. And this church is a loving church. It's a church that just, I mean, you guys are just one big heart. But when you're sitting there and you see someone that's in need, and you think, you know, I would love to take care of their electric bill for this month because I know they're really hurting. And you sit down with your checkbook, and you look at your bank account online, and you start figuring things out, and you realize, I can't give them money because I need that money. Because I would have to sacrifice something that I want so that they could have what they need. We get in this mentality, and it keeps us from being able to give big. You know, studies have shown that those who have more give less. And those who have less, they give more. Studies have shown that. Why is that? Well, it's because people that have more, they've developed a relationship with that. People that have more, they've developed a trust in their money, in their wealth, in their riches. They've developed a love relationship, a trust relationship, and that's where they find their security. And so to take that and give it is very difficult for rich people like you and like I. See, people who have a little, if they're Christians, they've had to learn how to depend on God because they know money's not going to come through for me. Money is not there. It's not going to take care of me. It doesn't give me security. I have to depend on God. So there's not a love relationship with their money. There's not a trust relationship built there. So for them to give away money, it is so easy because they're not in love with it. It's people who love and trust money. It makes it increasingly difficult for them to give big. Some of you have a huge amount of money. And you don't have a clue about giving. You don't have a clue what it means to have a generous heart. And that's not feeling rich. That's feeling selfish. I want to be rich. I want you to be rich. I want us all to be rich in such a way that honors God. I want us to be rich the way God wants us to be rich. I want us to feel rich the way God wants us to feel rich. You know what God wants out of rich people? He wants generosity. He wants generosity. That's why he blesses us. He gives us more so that we can be generous, so that we can give to others. You want to feel rich? Start giving generously. That feels rich. Paul was talking to a group of people in the Bible, a group that were poor. I mean dirt poor. Not American poor, not, you know, sitting on a street corner with a guitar case open poor. We're talking dirt poor. Stomachs hungry poor. Poverty poor. He says in 2 Corinthians 8, out of the most severe trial. Now we know that Paul has gone through a lot. So for Paul to use language like that, we know that these guys have been through it. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme what? Poverty. Welled up in what? Rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. You don't have to be rich in order to give rich. But you are rich. So why aren't you giving rich? Albert Einstein once said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. You know, there are a lot of us here, and you might understand last week's message. That might make sense to you. You might be able to accept, yes, I'm rich, but I don't feel rich. I'm rich, but I don't feel rich. And you don't feel rich because you've been trying to do it the way the world wants to do it, the way Satan wants you to do it. You've been trying to feel rich by serving money. You've been trying to feel rich by buying into the deceitfulness of money. And it just hasn't been working for you. I'm not a psychic. I just know this to be true. And you've tried this. You've tried this your way, and you've been trying it for years and years and years, and you don't feel rich. And so I'd like to present something to you this morning, a very simple proposition. Why don't you try something different? Because you're trying the same thing and expecting different results. Why don't you try something different this morning to try and get different results? Why don't you test God's word and try to understand what feeling rich God's way is all about? And see if maybe you can have peace in your heart because you're not in love with your riches. That means that you're going to have to make a decision today. You're going to have to make a decision that I will not be deceived by wealth. I will not put my faith in wealth. I'm going to put my faith in God. I won't put my love in wealth. I'm going to put my love in God. I won't put my trust in wealth. I'll put my trust in God. My security will not be found in my stack in the bank. It will be found in God in heaven. Amen. And you got to make that decision. You got to tell the old girlfriend, hey, baby, it's not working out. You've been one heartbreak after another. I can't trust you. I can't depend on you. You hurt me. You bring misery into my life. We got to cut this off. You got to break up with your mistress because you cannot serve both God and money. You got to break it off. You got to cut off that relationship. And a great way to do it, a great way to tell her, hey, baby, it's over, is to start being generous. Start giving. Man, it's going to drive her nuts because she wants you to worship her. Money wants you to serve it. Satan wants you to serve money. And if you're giving it away, if you're generous with it, then that's sowing. Hey, you don't have a hold on me. I'm free of you. Don't call again. Don't email because we've broken up and I've chosen that I'm going to serve God and not money. You got to make that decision. Say this with me one more time. God has blessed me with more than I need. I am rich. But I will not trust in riches, but in Him who richly provides.